Like some of you, I had my travel plans for this past summer suspended. Many months ago, I had been selected to be part of an interfaith clergy group that would travel to Israel in July for a study tour. Our time would be spent mostly in Jerusalem, but a highlight of it would be our stop at the River Jordan, which both Jewish and Christian scriptures tell us is a special site where miracles occurred. When we clergy received the official notification that the trip was postponed, several of us had been expecting it for a while. Someone offered us reassuring words about all meeting next year in Jerusalem. So I stayed very close to home this summer. Now I couldn't envision having passed the season any other way. My husband and I bought a house not too far from our old rental place, and we spent a few weeks packing for the move and then a few weeks unpacking. While we relocated less than a couple miles away, it felt like a massive shift, a major reorientation in our lives, even though we had only moved to the other side of the Charles River. The stretch of the river that Ben jogged and the stretch that I biked remained familiar. After the move, though, we approached the river from different directions. We both did our routes in reverse. Today, I feel such gratitude for the months the two of us had as we settled into our new home in Watertown and became better acquainted with our neighbors in the local area. I learned that despite its name, Watertown has not that much water apart from the Charles River, which widens and narrows as it passes through town. Looking at the Massachusetts map, though, I noticed that there are very few towns in this region that the Charles does not pass through. You may see it from your window or find it a few blocks away. It seems to wind everywhere around here. The time-worn truths of waterways is that they simultaneously separate our territories and connect us across them. They introduce the same divisions they ultimately dissolve. Rivers are particularly powerful both as facts and as metaphors. They figure not only in sacred scripture, but also history and poetry and fiction for just such reasons. Look at any map and you will see that they cut across our paths so often, whether those paths lead us to the Mideast or circle the Commonwealth. These rivers issue us a standing invitation to cross over them by whatever means we have available to us, or by whatever means we can muster. In July, I was reminded of that deepest river reality when the great patriot Representative John Lewis died. An icon of the civil rights movement and the so-called conscience of Congress, he died at 80. This child of the Jim Crow South rose to national prominence and served his state for 17 consecutive terms. Before he entered civic service, Representative Lewis was, like his mentor, the late Reverend Dr. King, a Baptist preacher and an activist. He stepped into the American spotlight by leading a voting rights protest that involved a mass march out of Selma, across the Edmund Pettus Bridge, and over the Alabama River toward the state capital of Montgomery. The march was famously, notoriously, met with mass violence and police brutality on a day that would later become known simply as Bloody Sunday. The peaceful protesters were all part of the nonviolent movement led by Dr. King, and so they did not fight or even resist their attackers. Representative Lewis was struck on the head with a billy club and his skull fractured. "I thought I saw death on the bridge that day," he recalled. But he survived the attack and continued a life of courageous and committed activism and witness. 2 months after Bloody Sunday, the Voting Rights Act of 1965, a momentous and long overdue piece of legislation, was passed in Congress. It finally assured African Americans such as Representative Lewis the ballot. In his book, Across That Bridge, A Vision for Change and the Future of America, Representative Lewis recalled Bloody Sunday this way. All we needed was the courage to march to demonstrate the power of human dignity, and the spirit that is within us did all the rest. While his book offers a political blueprint, it also serves as a spiritual manifesto befitting a former pastor. The struggle for civil rights was more than a series of legal battles, he concluded. It was a spiritual confrontation that tested the power of two ideas, one based on unity and the other based on division. UU congregations such as ours are centered on the notion of unity and radical interdependence, and we are all called to spiritual confrontation now. Throughout the summer, across the country, we have seen uprisings and unrest that challenge persistent and pernicious divisions across America, racial, economic, and regional divides that this current pandemic has exposed as deadly and deadening. Near the end of his life, Representative Lewis lamented the high levels of hostility and bitterness he saw today. He decried how polarized and rancorous and partisan Americans had become in their engagement of one another in the civic sphere. On July 30th, the day of his funeral, the New York Times published an opinion piece that Representative Lewis wrote shortly before his death for posthumous publication. It was called, "Together, You Can Redeem the Soul of This Nation," and it imparted a blessing for all Americans. Representative Lewis described the profound experience of visiting the Black Lives Matter Plaza in Washington, D.C., just before his hospitalization, and realizing that the truth is still marching on. Ordinary people with extraordinary vision can redeem the soul of America by getting in what I call good trouble, necessary trouble, he declared. Representative Lewis led a life filled with good trouble and principled dissent and inspired leadership. In Across the Bridge, he outlines the 8-part program that allowed him to persist as a freedom fighter for decades. His comprehensive program includes faith, patience, study, truth, action, peace, love, and reconciliation. It ends with reconciliation, but note that it all begins with faith. In these strange days when we all feel so stuck, our faith can prove saving of our sanity and of so much more. The power of faith is transformative, Representative Lewis contended. It can be utilized in your own personal life to change your individual condition, and it can be used as a lifeline of spiritual strength to change a nation. This great man lent tremendous spiritual strength to a movement and modeled the transforming power of faith for millions of Americans. The public tributes paid to Representative Lewis after his death testified to that. Every year, he would take people with him on a return trip to the Edmund Pettus Bridge. On the 50th anniversary of Bloody Sunday, he walked across the bridge with our first African-American president by his side. On his annual trip across the bridge earlier this year, he said, "Our country is a better country now. We are a better people, but we still have a distance to travel." Such a distance ahead. His final trip across that landmark bridge was by horse-drawn carriage in July when his body was being brought to Montgomery to lie in state at the Alabama Capitol. The son of dispossessed Alabama sharecroppers, Representative Lewis had never surrendered his higher vision of what this nation could be, had never stopped seeing beyond artificial divisions to what he called our divine union with one another. Like Dr. King, he never lost sight of the proverbial promised land, even though he never expected to arrive there himself. But didn't he bring us all a little closer to it in his lifetime? Didn't he recall its manifold promises to us year after year? Perhaps you saw news photos of that wooden carriage draped in an American flag, drawing to the far side of the Alabama River. That sight captured a lot of people's attention and piqued their curiosity, too. The Edmund Pettus Bridge that spanned where Representative Lewis almost died decades ago was originally named for a Confederate general. Now there is a petition circulating to rename it the John Lewis Bridge. Like hundreds of thousands of other Americans, I added my signature to it. You may want to add yours as well. Representative Lewis helped bring us across a lot of seemingly impassable rivers as a country, and we all owe him a debt of gratitude. Frankly, I doubt that we Boston area clergy will be in Jerusalem next year, that our postponed Israel trip will happen in July 2021, and that we will take that trip across the River Jordan together. This pandemic is teaching me all the time, teaching me that timelines can extend themselves indefinitely, that plans might be scuttled irrevocably, and that we are all subject to this strange and disturbing moment in history, which contains its own revelations to us. As a nation and as individuals, we are faced with impending and intersecting crises. Hunger and homelessness is on the rise, healthcare is being jeopardized, education and employment are tenuous to a degree they have not been for generations, and isolation and alienation plague us as surely as the coronavirus. Of course, we also have an election coming up in November. More often than we care to admit, we are swept up in currents that are stronger and swifter than we anticipated, and yet we might find our way to safety just the same, somehow, someday, especially if we muster the kind of courage all forms of spiritual confrontation require. Watching Representative Lewis make that last passage across the Alabama River reminded me that miraculous occurrences can happen fairly close to home and near to waterways we know all too well. The Holy Land does not have to be a distant travel destination. Instead, it can simply be the ground beneath our feet when we faithfully attend to it and to the direction our own movements take. What novel approaches feel possible or needful now? What good trouble can we make in tough times? As we gather to commemorate the start of another church year here at UU Wellesley Hills, we would do well to adopt our own comprehensive program of faith, patience, study, truth, action, peace, love, and reconciliation as we face the uncertain days ahead. Always remember, though, that it starts with faith. In an amazing eulogy he gave for Representative Lewis in Dr. King's former pulpit, President Obama likened the congressman to John the Baptist, who the Bible tells us stood in the River Jordan, calling out to anyone who would listen, anyone remotely in earshot, that they ought to start preparing the way for a better future. Freedom is the continuous act we all must take, Representative Lewis reminded us. It demands our perseverance and an unwavering devotion to redeeming the soul of our nation along with our own souls. So try standing by or in waters you love, the same ones that you have passed by for years and crossed repeatedly, back and forth, time and again. Perhaps that peripatetic and ubiquitous Charles River, or your own favorite pond or lake or reservoir, whatever spot on the landscape your feet immediately know to carry you towards. And dare to imagine a better future for all of us. for the unity of us. How can you, how will you, prepare for it whenever it arrives? What miracles can you help bring to pass in this place?